Good morning. I'm Bob Morris, one of the elders here at Bethany Place Baptist Church, and it is my privilege this morning to open the Word and share with you my friends and family here. I grew up on a farm in Iowa, in the rural areas, and when I was 15, I had an opportunity through our local 4-H club to take a trip to Washington, D.C. It was called the Citizenship Short Course. And it was an opportunity to see some of the sights of Washington and learned how the legislature worked, and it was a great experience. But as I went there, being 15 years old, I wasn't all that mature. I was still growing up and learning to mix socially, and it was just that awkward time of life. But it was a great experience for me in that our group from our county joined with others and made a group of about 200 young people. And in part of the organization of that, there were different roles to play. And assigned to me was to give the weather report to the large group each morning before we headed out on the day. Just about 1 minute. Stand up front and do my thing. And so I thought, well, I'll do my best at that. And I prepared the report, and with trepidation, I stood up there on that first day, and I got through it with great fear. And the second day, it was a little easier. But by the end of the week, I was giving that weather report just like Al Roker, if you know who he is. It was a week of great change for me. It was a week of transformation as I learned to mix with others socially, learned about the world outside of my farm in Iowa, learned a bit about being up in front of others. And then, as you know, through my life, then the Lord has led me on to be a pastor and to be a missionary and to be before others speaking often. So that week of transformation for me, I use as a springboard to talk about the week of transformation for the disciples. That week when their teacher and their leader, Jesus, was arrested, was tortured, was crucified on the cross, put in the grave, but he didn't stay there. He rose again. But what a week of various transformation that was. And I would like to look at their transformation of the disciples and see what that has to say for us about being transformed for service to the Lord. So I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So we see here in this passage something that's repeated in all the Gospels about the resurrection, and that is that God sends them out, just as we read in that passage of Isaiah. And that is the crux, the centerpiece today. But we can see more in this passage as we let it develop. The first thing that we can see as we look in verse 19 and 21 is that there is a peace that grounded the disciples. And there's a peace for us today that can ground us for living our Christian life and serving the Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace to you." So when we were in Israel a few months ago on our trip, I had heard the word shalom before, meaning peace. I was not so familiar with the Arabic salam that I heard the Palestinians speaking, but often in greeting, I heard that word, peace, shalom, salam. It is a common greeting in the Middle East. And when this greeting is given of peace, it speaks both of the intent of the greeter, but also it's a blessing to the receiver. So the person is coming in peace and wanting to give peace to the one that they are greeting. Now we note here in this passage, in these few verses, Jesus said it twice. And I think the reason is because the disciples really needed that peace. They had just been through that week of so much change, of seeing their leader ripped away from them and crucified on a cross. And now they had been in mourning, and on the third day of their grieving for the loss of Jesus, there he appeared right with them, right before them again. How unsettling, how troubling that must have been. I believe that's why Jesus said twice, you know, peace to you, be at peace. The disciples really needed that. And sometimes in the world that we live in today, when we are shaken, we need to hear that word of peace as God, as Jesus offers it to us. And it's more than just the common greeting of the time. Jesus gave that special meaning as we look back to a few chapters earlier in the book of John. Jesus foreshadowed what was coming in John 14. And he spoke about his impending leaving, going away, and of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this was troubling to the believers. And so they in that trouble, Jesus said in 14, verse 27, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives peace, but as I give peace to you. Jesus had a special meaning in giving the peace, and it was a special meaning that only he could give, because it was Jesus alone who went to the cross and on the cross took our sins, and then arose to give power to walk in newness of life. And so when he offered peace, he could really offer a peace that transcends all understanding, as the book of Philippians tells us. And so this word of peace from Jesus is a deep and real word of peace. The reality of the resurrection had come to the disciples, and by seeing Jesus again, they began to understand all that he had been saying before he left them. And they were experiencing the risen Christ, and therefore found a new way forward in life, grounded on that peace that he gave them through what he did on the cross and through the resurrection. So if Jesus was resurrected, what could shake the disciples' faith? They had the peace of God, which grounded them in their life. You know, as Jesus died in resurrection, he opened a door for salvation for all following that, for us today. And many of us here in the house are believers, but that word needs to go to those outside of this house of worship, that all will hear of what Jesus did, of this grounding that can be found in the peace that only God can offer. And so we find in Romans 5:1, it talks about this peace. It says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise of God. And this is a peace that the world can't give, and that the world can't take away from us, because it's unique to what Jesus himself did. As a part of our work, Susan and I, with the International Mission Board, our last 10 years we were in member care ministry. We were supporting our missionaries with pastoral care and emotional, spiritual support as it was needed. One topic that we've read and worked with a lot is the topic of resilience. That ability to work through difficulties in life and come back to a stable mental, emotional, spiritual health, and to be able to continue in effective service. And this resilience is needed very much on the mission field. But I know each of you are saying, yeah, you need that too for the challenges that come in life, we need to find a resilience. And one strategy for resilience is called building on the past. And, you know, there's times when each of us can look back, a time that there has been pain or sorrow, a disappointment, unmet needs in life. And we can see how we work through those times in the past. And then when a more challenging times come, then we can look back to that. And we could say, well, in the past, I've handled similar. And in this present challenge, I can build on the past and say, I can make it through this because I did make it in the past. So this is a strategy for resilience in life. And so the disciples now, they had something that they could really build on, didn't they? They had gone through the challenges of that week and losing one so dear to them, and then see that person come back and be able to reframe life and recast the challenge that they were facing into seeing a great victory. And with that resilience, based on that grounded faith, they could go forward in life. They could do whatever they needed to in life. Not always with ease, but they were able to because of that grounding of faith that they had and that they could build on. So the disciples could build on that relationship with Jesus. And we can also build on our encounter with Jesus, where we faced Him and became His followers as we realized that He did come speaking truth, that He did die for our sins, and He did come back to life. And that can help us move forward in our lives. I want to borrow one more example from the Scripture as Paul looked at the challenges he was facing and how he saw those in Romans 8, starting with verse 36. So concerning facing challenges, he said, "No, in all these things or these challenges, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes through Christ Jesus." There's an example of that groundedness launching Paul forward in the ministry that he had. And we too need to avail ourselves looking forward. Do you have that grounding? Do you have that foundation in Jesus today, realizing what He has done and the truth He has spoken, so that we too can be full-hearted in our service and going forward with God? As a believer, you need to ask God for the peace that only He can give, as you realize the full meaning of this resurrection that we've been talking about, especially the last few weeks, and that we come to celebrate each week. And if you're not sure about your relationship and you don't have that peace today, today is the time to realize that resurrection did take place and how you need to respond in giving yourself fully to God. So not only did the believers have this faith that grounded them, but they have a commission that sent them. And we have a commission that sends us. We find this in verse 21. It says, "As the Father sends me, even so I am sending you." This commission of sending, we find in all four of the Gospels. We find it in Matthew 28, that familiar, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And in Mark 16, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And in Luke, it's approached a little differently. In 24, chapter 24, verse 46, he says, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations." And that preaching to all nations talks about that carrying out, that sending of the gospel. So this commission is very important. It's stated explicitly in all the Gospels. So let's look at it just a bit more here. This commission has both a content and a call to action. Let's look at the content first. In John 21, it's addressed in saying, "As the Father has sent me." So how did the Father do sending here? He really shared part of himself. As we look at the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. God is one, but he visited us in the person of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, he was one who came and spoke truth, and he healed people. He taught about the kingdom of God, and he sacrificed to make sure that that kingdom would come into reality, in fruition. So the content of the gospel was in Jesus himself, his teaching, and his works of going to the cross and of rising again. And then we see that content also addressed in Luke 24, where he said, "Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. Repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name." Now here is the gospel in a simple nutshell. And this content is so important. It's the basis of the Christian faith. It's the basis of knowing what you need to know in order to become a believer. So this content is very important. You know, you could go out and take that go and make disciples or be sent out by God, but if you don't have the right thing to say, you're wasting your time. So this content is very important. But also part of this content, it does need to go out. I wanted to note that this content needs to be experienced. This content needs to be a part of who we are, not just something we say, something that we have experienced first, that we have met Jesus, and that we know him as Lord and Savior. Then we can share with others how to know him. So now we'll focus on that other part of the call to action. In Matthew, it's the go. Or in Book of John, it's I'm sending you. As believers, we are to carry this message of the gospel of what Jesus did. And Acts 1:8 gives a scope to this command of go out when it says in 1:8, "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The scope of carrying this gospel out, of being sent out with the gospel, is not limited to where you were sitting today, or your own home, or your own town, or our own state or country, but it's to go around the world. So we need to go with energy and we need to go with vigor. I see an example of this to me. I thought of the disciples being sent out, an example of a basketball coach sending someone into the basketball game. You know, at crucial moments, if a player gets hurt or someone fouls out or another critical time, the coach must quickly send someone else into the game. And you've seen that happen before. He'll look down the bench. He'll catch the eye of that player that he wants to send in, and he'll motion to him. That player will come up to the coach, and that coach will give him some last quick instructions. And then the coach will push him towards the scoring table and out onto the court. And you know, that player, he's ready to go and play because he has been sent out with those instructions that the coach has given. I believe this is a picture of the sending that we need to have as we go out in task with carrying that content of the gospel to others around us and to the world. And you know, to carry that just a bit farther, a basketball player can't play basketball sitting on the bench. He has to be out and into the game. And the same it is for us as believers. We are not to just be sitting on the bench. Now, not all of us can go to the ends of the world, But all of us can be involved in that gospel, carrying that gospel message. Well, what does that look like? How can we carry that gospel message? In the wider sense, it's through a life that reflects that gospel, first of all. Be that Christian so that when others see you, they are seeing Christ in you, so that they may actually call you a Christian, a little Christ. But then also, you need to be growing in Christ and helping others grow in Christ and be prepared to go out. And you need to find those ways that God has gifted you in being able to share your faith. You need to be witnesses in your life, but in word also, as you have that opportunity. And then there'll be times when you can simply meet needs. You meet needs. You give that cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And perhaps there will be that opportunity to follow with the gospel presentation. So we can all be involved in that commission that Jesus gave the disciples. That as God, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. This commission lays down a challenge to us. And I believe, especially this context here, the energy of the resurrection was transferred to the disciples. And they went out with that energy of God to fulfill that commission that they had been given. The Christian faith is not only a come and see faith, it's a go and tell faith. And that is the faith that we have. So the peace that Jesus offered grounded the disciples for their way forward. Jesus' death and resurrection was a reality for them. And they received forgiveness for their sin, and they became full followers of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And then these disciples were given the commission to carry the gospel, that content, out into all the world. But how was this daunting and immense task to be carried out? Most of these disciples were common men and were only fishermen. Well, the next verse helps. Verse 22 helps us understand this. When verse 22 says, "And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit is also God, part of that Godhead. And God had a plan for the Holy Spirit. It visited the prophets and those in the Old Testament. But as we understand our interpretation of the Bible, it didn't rest and stay with people all the time. But Jesus had his plan, and again, he foreshadowed the coming of the Holy Spirit, looking back to John 14. And he, as he talked about his leaving, he said that there will be another comforter, another counselor coming to be with them. And so he was foreshadowing what was to come. And when we think of doing God's work, we know we need that help of God. If Jesus could not be with us, then we need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did not intend for us to be doing his work without his Spirit being with us. And Jesus said this in John 15, If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, just as with Jesus, it's true with the Spirit. Apart from God's presence, apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And the Holy Spirit's coming was a part of this transition of the week. And we see this transition in part in how Jesus responded to Mary. Right outside the tomb in the verses leading up to this that we've read today. When Jesus spoke Mary's name and Mary realized that it was Jesus back from the dead that was speaking to her, she wrapped his arms around his leg as she was bowed before him and worshiping him. And Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I've not yet gone to the Father." I think part of what Jesus was saying to Mary is things are changing now. You're not to hold on to me. You're not to trust in my physical presence only, because I'm leaving now. And you and the disciples must not just trust in me. I've already told you what's going to happen, that the Holy Spirit will come and there'll be a new presence of God in your life. So in John 14:6, when he said, I'll ask the Father and he will send you a counselor or comforter, the Spirit of truth, that was his promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes I think the Holy Spirit can be taken for granted. But just in a quick recitation, think of the various things that the Spirit does to empower the ministry that God has called us to. He ministered at Pentecost, and he was one who teaches and reminds. He convicts people of their sin. He dwells and fills believers. He's a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. He guides in all truth. He gives spiritual gifts to believers, helps in our weaknesses, and intercedes for us in prayer before the Father. He sanctifies and enables good fruit in our lives. And he's that one where it talks about that we have a spirit of power and love and self-discipline in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So in John 14 and 20, the Holy Spirit comes as that replacement and immediately showed himself in that upper room at Pentecost as he came on the disciples in fullness. And then immediately after that, as they preached to the multitude, and 3,000 people in one day received Jesus as Savior. He inhabited the fellowship of the believers and was involved in the physical healing through the disciples and what they in their ministry. He strengthened Peter and John as they defended their faith before the Jewish leaders and gave strength to Stephen as he was stoned for his faith. And that's just the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers the ministry of God. And again, if we say that we're doing the works of God, we must have the Spirit of God in our lives. And so the disciples were not on their own as they went out, and neither are we alone as we go out. When I was thinking, when have I seen the Holy Spirit at work? And I think the most recent time is in the last few days in my life. Jean asked me to preach a few weeks ago, gave me a passage, and I looked at it, and quickly I thought, oh yeah, I can work with this. Who can go wrong with a passage about the resurrection of Jesus? And so I looked at it, and it seemed to outline itself fairly well, and I was getting some of the materials together. But then it kind of went dead in the water. I just wasn't making progress with it for 2 or 3 days, and then getting a little near in time, I thought, well, what am I going to do? And so it was Thursday night, and just before I went to bed at 10:30, I thought, well, I'm going to look at just a few minutes before going to bed. And so I picked up the papers, and from the first moment, the sermon began laying itself out, and the things became more clear. And supporting materials and illustrations came to mind. And then in that next hour, this message, pretty much just as you've hearing it now, came together. And it was a special moment for me because I saw where the end of my efforts was. I was dead in the water. But when God entered in, I felt that special presence of God and was able to put this message together. So I pray that what you are hearing is what the Spirit wants you to hear. And so as God reminded me of His presence, I want to challenge you today. Have you sensed that working of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your private time with Him, in your prayers, and in helping you voice things or giving you God's answer or understanding of situations, in the relationships that you're in your opportunities to speak for Him? Has the Spirit been active in your life? I pray that you can say, yes, he's been active. But it's a reminder once again to depend upon him for our very lives. It was in our Sunday school lesson that we were talking about fighting temptation today. And how do we do that? We keep in relationship with God and keep our focus on him. So that is how God planned for his commission to be carried out. There was a grounding in the peace that Jesus offered through what he had taught and then what he had done through his crucifixion and resurrection. And then he gives a commission for us to go out with the content of the gospel, to call all peoples of the world to come to know him. And then he gave the resource of the Holy Spirit to get the job done. When I think of something that energizes this message for me, I once again think of a recent trip to the Holy Land. And on the last day of our travels, we went to the Garden Tomb. And at that Garden Tomb, it's one of a couple places that are highly thought of to likely be, not proven to be, where Jesus was actually buried and from which he resurrected. We were our group of about 25 to 30, and at four or five of us at a time, we were able to step in and be inside that tomb and spend about a minute. And I remember very well stepping in there and looking where the body would have been laying and just thinking, wow, what would it have been like to enter that tomb that Sunday morning of the resurrection and to see the burial cloths there, but no body. And it just excited me and energized me so much. And it has ever since that. It's made this Easter time for me more imminent, more applicable to my life. And it just gives me an extra excitement and energy to go out and do what he wants me to do. And from that perspective now, it's like I was one of the original disciples. I was there, and I saw what happened, and I saw the resurrected Christ. And with that, I want to go out and serve. And I pray that you today, as we close this message, will seek that renewal of your relationship with God and experience Jesus in his fullness as if he were just rising from the grave. And through the truth that God has shared in your life and what you've seen that Jesus has done for you, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be ready to carry out that commission of Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for this passage today that celebrates your rising from the dead. Thank you for your words to your disciples that spoke truth and laid out clearly how you want believers to live and what you want them to do coming from the point of the resurrection. So, Lord, may your Spirit be alive in us. May we truly seek you and your fullness, that we can have that energy that it takes to go out and live for you daily and to share the gospel with others. It's in your Son's name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.